The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm delighted to welcome into the studio Sarah Keogh, dietitian and founder of Eat Well. Sarah, lovely to see you today.
Good to be here.
Can I ask you an off the point kind of question before we go to this first? One of my daughters has decided she would like to be a dietitian.
Okay, great.
It seems to be very hard to get into.
There's very few places and the points are extremely high.
Why is that?
To be honest, it's quite a tough degree. A lot of people, I know with my own friends, I think they thought I spent 5 years of college looking at pictures of fruit and veg, but it's a huge amount of chemistry.
Yeah.
So you absolutely have to have chemistry in your Leaving Cert to do it. You need honours Leaving Cert chemistry, and it's a lot of organic chemistry, biochemistry, clinical biochemistry and all the rest. So actually you need to really know what you're doing, be into the science to do it. So the points are very high, partly because there's not enough places.
It's more isn't it?
It's a big part of that, but at the same time, there's definitely...
It's nearly up there with medicine.
It's up there with medicine for us to get into it.
Yeah, for a good few years.
Well, haven't done it. There's a lot in it and you do get a big dropout at the start. A lot of people can't cope with the chemistry when they come in. Which we do see in medicine as well.
Because we could use a lot more dietitians, couldn't we?
Oh, we definitely could. No, I think there's like 400 empty posts around Ireland at the moment.
A place where there's huge demand for dietitians.
Huge demand for it, yeah.
Did I hear somewhere that they were being trained in England
before this? Absolutely. We've always had training for dietitians in Ireland. But you definitely train in the UK. Coleraine do a really good program. And there's now a couple more masters. So if someone has a degree in something else.
Has Brexit affected that?
Not really. We haven't seen a huge impact
of
Brexit
even
for that.
Not a huge amount with it.
So.
Very good. So there's no quick answer to that. It just seems to be get 600 points.
Make sure you like chemistry.
So one of the things you're talking about today, we'll ask your questions, please, 53106, is processed food.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of thought I knew where I stood on processed food. It is the instrument of the devil, I thought. That's all it has presented, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. But you're saying that's not actually the full story.
It really isn't. And people have funny ideas, processed and ultra processed. And, you know, they think this means it's all chemicals. So to break it down, right, an unprocessed food is a food that's had nothing done to it.
Okay.
So if you eat an apple, that's an unprocessed food. A processed food is a food that's had anything done to it. So stewed apple is now a processed food.
Okay. Right. Okay.
And loads of people think, "Oh, that's weird because processed is bad." No, processed just means something was done to it. So if you take
it's subjected to a process.
It's a stewed apple is a processed food. Now, if you take that apple and you get apple juice out of it, and then you put sweeteners into it and all the rest, now you have an ultra processed food.
Okay.
So that's the difference. So the idea that we all have to run screaming away from processed foods is just rubbish. Once you've cooked your spaghetti bolognese for dinner, you have produced a processed meal.
But has the phrase processed food not in people's minds come to mean things on the supermarket shelf where a lot of stuff has gone on in it, where you're taking maybe a chicken curry home or you just microwave it,
Can be totally fine. And again, if you have a chicken curry that is just made and there's no additives in it, that is just a processed food and is totally fine. And this is the thing, we nutrition and food is much more complex, and people often look for a simple label that they can go, right, I just don't eat that, that's an ultra processed food. So if we actually go from processed food, so if you make a chicken curry at home with fresh ingredients and you cook it, that's now processed.
Yeah.
But if you added a stock cube that had food additives in it, that chicken curry is now an ultra processed food.
Okay.
Okay. So this, what I'm saying is, but it's still totally fine.
Yeah, it is.
This is what I'm saying. So where people get excited is there's studies looking at what we call ultra processed foods. And I think
if you're doing the process yourself.
It doesn't matter.
But if you trust
in
yourself,
your kitchen or someone. Yeah.
So you're not going to trust other people.
So what it is as well is that I think what people confuse sort of the ultra processed foods is with junk food. So what we would have called 10 years ago junk food, which we would have called, you know, your mechanically recovered chicken as opposed to your handmade chicken breast goujons that you can buy and things like that. Or you're looking at...
mechanically recovered chicken.
You know what I mean?
That's a beautiful phrase, isn't it?
But it's one of those things that you're looking, and we see all studies going, right, these ultra processed foods, which are these processed foods have additives, you know, people get more heart disease and all the rest, but not from all of them. It's if you're going for what we would have called 15 years ago junk food. If you eat lots of crisps and biscuits and cakes and chocolate and very heavily processed, you know, those kind of foods, guess what? You get more heart disease. But that's because you're eating more saturated fat and eating more sugar and those things. But there's lots of ultra processed foods that we know are very healthy. So whole grain bread that you would buy in the supermarket that has additives in it,
sure,
is processed. We know people eating that get less heart disease than people who don't. We know they get less bowel cancer than people who don't. So it's not even fair if you have an ultra processed label on something to throw it all out, because actually a lot of it is perfectly okay. But there is that scaremongering. And, you know, I think sometimes people kind of enjoy a little bit of fear about their food, you know, something to talk about with it.
I don't. I find I walk past the fridge and there's things in there I won't touch.
Do you know, I'm not a
and there's moments when I want to touch them and I think, no, I can't do that.
And look, it's one of those things. It's actually what you add in that's more important for your diet. Like adding in your fresh fruit and veg, adding in your whole grains, adding in your, you know, your good proteins and stuff like that. And if on top of that you have a biscuit or a bar of chocolate or something, it's totally fine. You know, it's,
you are speaking revolution tonight.
Well,
you really are.
Normal. I always say, don't get you together with more dietitians because actually we're quite normal. Life is for a living. It does not need to be perfect. And that's what we know from the really good research on nutrition is get the nutrients in, limit, you know, but not ban all the other stuff because you have to have a life.
Right. I still just feel, I don't harp on endlessly about processed foods, but it does feel like there are certain...
Feels bad, doesn't
there
it?
Are certain, yeah, it does. Yeah, there are certain poster boys for the bad... You know, and you think of highly processed ham.
Yeah.
It's coming on. Firstly, it's not costing very much. That makes you suspicious.
Yeah.
There's a million slices of it in this, you know, for €2 or something. What's going on? Mm-hmm. What have they done to it?
Yeah.
You're asking yourself. Processed chicken breasts. You're thinking the same thing. Are you right to be suspicious?
Like, you're talking a chicken breast that you'd buy, like, in a packet in a supermarket, like 4 chicken breasts.
That'd be. No, I'm probably thinking it's already been cooked and it's coming to you in.
Sometimes
I am. Yeah. If you're thinking of an organic one, you're paying through the nose.
Yeah,
and that's going to be fine. But the other ones are huge.
But nutritionally, there's no benefit to organic over ordinary.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. And your fresh meat that you're buying in the supermarket is all going to be fine. Yeah, once they start putting kind of crumbs and stuff on it, no harm to have a look at a label, but make sure you know what you're looking at. Because the latest thing I see people saying is, oh my God, if there's a big long list of ingredients, I just walk away. And you're like, do you know what? If you've ever made a lasagna, from top to bottom, the list of ingredients into that, even a homemade one, is going to be very, very long. But each one of them is totally fine. So the long list of ingredients run away. I saw someone recently saying, oh, I wouldn't eat this food. It's got riboflavin in it, and you know, I don't know what that is. Well, that's vitamin B2. You'll be totally fine, but they don't recognize
you
the
won't
chemical
catch
name.
Me from that riboflavin
stuff. Do you know what I mean? And it's, you know, but it's, I think sometimes we get scared that we might not know the names of all of these things. And I'm not saying people shouldn't look at labels and shouldn't keep an eye on foods, absolutely. But I think rather than scaring yourself to death, get into your fresher foods and don't be worried about something that comes in a packet. I would be checking things like, you know, that it's not really high in saturated fat or salt or something like that as a more important thing to look at.
Should they be making things a bit easier to kind of see that
they
level
have
of
killed
stuff.
Themselves trying. You wouldn't believe this. I work in food regulation as well. And like, there's actual laws about the minimum font size on labeling with that. You and I are just at the age where we need the glasses to see them.
I need them for the second time in my life. But, right. So read the labels. I have to ask you a question because it's in front of me and it involves sausages and rashers.
Okay.
Which I love.
Me too.
And every time I'm seen in the vicinity of one, my wife looks at me and thinks that's another 2 years off my life. So, you know, where's the reasoned view on this?
It's like anything. It's, as I was saying to you, get it right most of the time. Get the good stuff in. And then where we are with things like sausages and rashers is a lot of them, two things. One, they're very high in salt. So very high salt is definitely not good for us in terms of blood pressure, increased risk of stroke and things like that. So we definitely want to reduce salt. The second thing is that you can get compounds in particularly bacon that has certain preservatives in it, so nitrites in them. And if you're eating a lot of those, how they interact, there is an increase. Now, a small
What's
increase
a lot?
For it. 50 grams a day. So if you're
once
eating,
a week.
So that's what I'm saying. So what we know from the research is that if you're eating 50 grams of processed red meat that has this, the nitrites in them, if you do that every day for your entire life, you slightly increase your risk of colon cancer.
Oh, just slightly.
Just slightly. So they sometimes say it causes cancer. People think, well, I'll definitely get cancer when I have it. But that's not the case. Because we know, for example, alcohol increases your chances.
There's a bit of scaremongering.
Do you know what it is? There's a fine line between giving people information and people kind of grasping, you know, it's not black or white. And this is the thing with nutrition. It's not black or white. It's not that you need this perfect diet. And dietitians spend their whole careers going, you can actually just breathe. And it doesn't have to be perfect. So, you know, if you wanted to have a fry on a Sunday morning, go for it.
Oh, it's happening tomorrow.
I just wouldn't be doing it every day.
I wouldn't, but I think this Sunday it's definitely going to happen. Few little questions for you from the listeners. One, wondering about the benefits of the various types of yogurts, kefir and probiotics and stuff like that.
So yogurt in and of itself is a great food because it has calcium in it and a lot of us aren't getting our calcium that we need for the day.
Sure.
So that's really good in terms of bone health. Yogurts also have a little bit of protein, which is fantastic. And then they have a couple of other vitamins, things like B12 and stuff like that. So actually they're a brilliant food. When you start breaking it down in terms of the bacteria or how they're fermented, so where you can ferment them with a kefir type preparation, you can do it with different bacteria. what they do is the fermentation is quite good. And we know that people eating fermented foods have healthier guts. When it comes to the specific bacteria that they use, there's a bit of debate about how valuable they are. Some have really good research to say they do beneficial things in the gut, some less so. But what I would say to you is, regardless, yogurt itself is just a really good food because it's fermented and because of the calcium.
One of those yogurts I've spotted comes with a, it says, like a guarantee to lower your cholesterol.
So what they have is products that have an added ingredient, which is usually a plant sterol or a plant stanol. And what they do is they reduce the amount of cholesterol you absorb in your gut. So if you do have high cholesterol and you add in those products, they do help to lower your cholesterol. Most of them will give you about a 10% reduction in
your
cholesterol.
That's amazing.
It's pretty impressive, isn't it?
That is. Yeah. I mean, if you're borderline 5.5, 6, where a lot of people are, that's getting you down below where you need to take
fat. Well, it's
getting
you right down. They're really, I mean, nutrition is just fascinating with what you can do. So you can add in stuff like that. And if you have high cholesterol, adding in things like flaxseed works really well. Oats and barley work really well. Like, there's loads you can do. People often think with cholesterol, what do I cut out? But actually, again, what you're adding in can be just as important.
Very good. A question asking, should you pressure your children to eat fruit and veg for the better of their health, or will this cause more pushback?
Pressure is always hard work. I would encourage and expose. So it's not always easy, you know, with kids, and I've kids myself, you know, been there, done that, you know. One of my kids would have been a mad fussy eater.
In their DNA, I think.
Well, you know, a lot of it is exposure and getting used to it. As soon as you put pressure on children, as soon as you make a row about it, forget it. So I would just keep offering. What I do, and I do a lot of work with fussy eaters, is you get them cooking. You get their hands on the food. You get them into the supermarket, putting the broccoli in the bag. You get them cooking the food, but you take the pressure to eat it out of it. So giving it at the table, they might feel, oh, I'm going to be in trouble if I don't eat it, or there's going to be a row. But if you're cooking it, they end up licking their fingers while they're doing it. They're smelling it, they're seeing it, and that gets that whole sensory side of it down. Handling it in the supermarket that they're putting in the bag, but again, no pressure to eat it, tends to bring a lot of kids around with it. But failing that, bribery. Like, if you eat a piece of carrot, I will give you a chocolate button. That works, and it's okay to do that, to get a child over the hump of trying some foods.
Treating them like dogs, really, is training them to do tricks. Listener saying, I get bad cramps in my leg muscles at night. Is there anything I can take to help with that?
There's lots of reasons you might be getting bad cramps. So I would probably check in with your GP if it's something that's been going on for a while. That's always worth just double checking what might be going on. Hydration is going to be important. Now, obviously, you don't want to be drinking a whole lot close to going to bed, but getting, you know, we see a lot more people getting cramps in the warm weather when we get it. So just keeping hydrated. And then just general multivitamin and mineral supplement, because little things, we talk a lot about magnesium, but there's also potassium and a couple of other minerals that are involved there, and calcium can be important too.
Very good. More questions I want to ask. Well, the boiling the joint of ham, is that worthwhile, or would you just accept the hams that are coming prepackaged in the supermarket?
They're the same in terms of their impact on your health.
Are they really?
Yeah, they do. Because people kind of go, oh, well, I won't get the packet ham, I'll cook the ham myself. But in terms of that, as is that slight increased risk of colon cancer, it's exactly the same whether you've bought the ham and cooked it yourself or you've got it out of the packet. Now, the quality of what you're eating varies hugely with anything. So, you know.
Right, I'm a bit devastated about that as well. I won't lie now. It's another, my world's been turned upside down this last few minutes. What is better to keep yourself hydrated with? Shop-bought tins of isotonic stuff or just plain water?
If you're just a normal person going around a normal day, water is totally fine. Where you're going to go with things like isotonic and electrolytes is if you're doing a lot of sports like marathon running and you're sweating a lot, and with that sweat you're going to be losing things like salt, potassium and all the rest. So there where those sports drinks are helpful, but for the average person, water is going to be totally fine.
Another one, I think I already know the answer to this. Should we always give our kids a packed lunch, or is it okay to let them get things from the canteen?
Depends on what's available, really. I think the huge thing about the school foods coming in September and stuff like that, you know, one of the things we're actually seeing with the school lunches is their kids are getting them in school, but the parents are also sending them a packed lunch. So by the time they actually get the hot lunch, they're completely full and not eating it. So no harm. I mean, it depends on what's available. I know my kids' school, the choices would be limited, so I do send food with them.
You're reminding me of a moment once years ago when Audrey did a lunch for the children, and there were four different little foods.
Right.
And Eva looked at him and went, yuck, 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 yuck.
Don't you love kids?
And that was the end of that. Sarah, thank you very much. So you're saying recommend the old food triangle is the one to work if you want.
Food pyramid has a remarkably good bit of research behind it. People love to hate it, but if you take a look at it,
have that on the fridge,
detail, you know,
is that, would that be your advice?
I wouldn't even go that far. I mean, most of us, you know, most people have a good handle on healthy eating. You know, the basics haven't changed in a long time in terms of your fruit and veg, your whole grains and stuff like that.
Sure. It's not what my wife says. Yeah, Sarah, thank you very much indeed. Sarah Kill, dietitian.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.